woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
This wasn't really going to be a theme song.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
This is just John singing in his sleep, and his wife recorded it.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
The whole thing, just all of this, it all came out in his sleep.
WGN Hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
So nasty. Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Happy birthday, buddy.
Fungus on my toe and I need you.
Let me try that one more time. Good morning, Kev.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks. You know, it's my brother Kurt's birthday as well.
Oh, today?
No, 17th. We're both our birthdays are June 17th.
All right, so Kurt texted me to remind me it was your birthday. He never mentioned his birthday.
Yeah, how about that? We were born the same day, 2 years apart.
How about that? How about
cool.
The fact that Kurt's such a giving brother?
Very nice. Your mom was probably going, oh, thank God. Now I don't have to remember. I can only have to remember one date.
Yeah, well, plus there's 37 kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, but I also, you always used to say, and it's not true, so I'll come clean right now, is Kurt loved angel food cake as a child. I loved devil's food cake as a child. So I always used to say that Kurt always got cake and I didn't. But in all honesty, my mom used to make two cakes on that day for us. So.
How about that?
That's sweet.
Yep.
Your mom's
yep.
the best. Your mom's well, the best. Really, your sister's the best. You brothers, I'm not sure on.
It was really bad when it fell on Father's Day because my dad liked butterscotch pie. So she had to make two cakes and a butterscotch pie when the 17th fell on Father's Day.
Poor thing. She's in the kitchen going,
There's a thing about that generation of men. Like my dad and your dad, I think we're about the same age. And my dad liked butterscotch and peanut brittle and like weird yeah. flavored ice cream and stuff.
Right, tapioca.
Was there no chocolate in the 30s and 40s?
Right.
Yeah, my dad loved that tapioca pudding.
What
oh,
was with all
the
weird,
the
goofy flavors that generation of men loved?
I don't know. The butterscotch is weird, too. And butter pecan.
That's why they're in better shape. They couldn't get chocolate.
Like, instead of chocolate ice cream, it was always like butter pecan. You know, different flavors.
Yeah. And praline this and
right.
whatever. did you get anything special for your birthday?
I did not, but that's perfect because I have plenty of things.
Yeah. So you're the guy that makes it tough for the rest of us because you are actually hard to buy for.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As I tell people, I would rather have your time and your friendship than any gift.
So. Well, that's great. I'll give you that anytime you need.
Yeah.
All right. At 6:40, we hope you learn something when we talk about people on this show that have medical things. And I'm going to talk about me for a second. Tomorrow morning, or I assume it's tomorrow morning, I'm going to have something called an IVC filter removed.
Yep.
Now, this was something that was dropped in me on a bungee cord back in April when it was determined that I had a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot in my lungs, that due to something called an antithrombin 3 deficiency, even though I find it hard to believe there are any more deficiencies than I'm already aware of, which is a propensity to maybe have blood clots and blood clot problems. So they put the filter in, Doc, which my understanding is it's like a little umbrella. They pop the umbrella, and if there was a blood clot that tried to travel to my heart or lungs, it would be stopped by the umbrella. Is that all correct so far?
You're right on so far. Yep.
All right. So how do they get it out? C3, a little explosive? What do they do?
Right. So if you think about this, like Steve was saying, you know, the big concern is when you have a clot that they know is there, you had a clot behind your leg, and they say, wow, that clot can move. Well, if it moves, what can we do to stop it? And just for visualization, think of like a pasta colander, you know, that you put the pasta in and you pour the water.
Sure. You're familiar with
right?
that? Yeah.
So we put one of those inside your body, inside your vena cava. So they go in through your leg and they put that up and they open up essentially this colander so that if a clot were to leave your leg and go to your lung, we're going to stop it there. And we're going to allow the body to slowly reabsorb it and to break it down so that a large clot doesn't go there. So what they're going to do is they're going to go in now and they're going to close that umbrella up and they're going to pull it back out because now that clot is essentially gone and is not harmful or not has a possibility of doing something bad to you.
Well, and I'm on a medication that I'll be taking in all likelihood for the rest of my life.
yep.
which is, a lot of people are called Coumadin.
Right.
Yep.
Blood thinner.
But it's okay now because I'm at a therapeutic level of Coumadin. You can tell by looking at me. So there's a safety measure, a level of confidence among the doctors that they can take out my friend, the little umbrella.
Yes.
The colander.
Correct.
So what? How do they get it out? Is it fishing? Do I open my mouth? They throw a hook in? What do they do?
No, they're going to go back in through your leg, and then they're going to go back up to where it's at. And then the technologies of these are just unbelievable.
Well, they went in through my neck, so they'll go through my leg this time?
Oh, no, no. Okay, if they went through your neck, they're going to go through your neck again.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So you'll literally have a pain in the neck that day.
Right. All right, now here's the biggest question. Am I going to be able to golf on Wednesday if I have this done tomorrow?
Oh, jeez.
I think that they may let you. We'll see.
Why don't you wait till Thursday? Why don't you wait a day? I'm sorry.
Because, you know, there's the Wednesday I had a plan.
Sorry, what a dumb question.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question, though, about your Coumadin, because you're going to be on Coumadin now, and they alter the levels, right? So whatever dosage you're on now, maybe in a month you'll be on a lower or higher dose, right?
Well, they feel like they've got it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have to stay between it. There's an INR level. Which Doc would know what an INR level is.
So what they will do is they will continue to monitor that. And you're absolutely right, Andrea. We have things actually called, Steve will be going to something called a Coumadin clinic, where he's going to get his blood drawn, and someone is going to look at that result and say, okay, take this amount of Coumadin today. Take this amount of Coumadin. So it's not like one dose works the same for people all the time for the rest of their lives. You'll continue to have that monitored, and there'll be changes made of your dosing. So...
And here's the cool thing. You go in for a blood test once a month, you know, once you're stable. And even though it may not sound like it, I'm stable. But now I can do that blood test thing at home.
You can test your own blood,
blood
at home.
Yeah, there's a little machine.
Yeah.
A little machine. You know about this?
Yeah, because diabetics do this as well. My friend has one of these to test her blood sugar. I think it's
About that. It probably is a similar machine.
Yeah, I think.
Yep.
Right, Doc?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Yeah.
So it saves you the hassle of driving your car to a clinic to get actually the blood test done. Some people still will do that, but the biggest thing is going to be to get those results in and that someone looks at them and make sure that your dosing is appropriate.
Right.
That's
you pop a little card.
Another blood clot.
You pop a little card in, and the results go straight, you know, wirelessly.
And then they tell you if you alter your dose or not.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, the doc calls up and goes, "Okay, you're fine. Leave us alone."
Yep.
I get that from a lot of doctors. Leave us alone now.
And the nurses, too.
Yeah. At 6:45, we'll get back with the birthday boy in a second. We got some other summer topics we need to hit, including a reminder on sunblock and things of that nature for those of you who asked 8 million questions after Doc talked about it last time. Text or questions if we get time, 312-981-7200. First, let's get to traffic, and here's Mary. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better. By making medicine better, Dr. Kevin Most is with us. And let's talk a little some summertime. What about bug bites?
Yeah, you know, when we get here to summer and we talk, you know, we've already touched at least a little bit on, you know, skin protection and what we should do there. We talked a little bit about dehydration. But, you know, the other big thing that we see a lot of people coming into clinics for, emergency departments and private primary care offices, is bug bites, insect bites, because you've got mosquitoes out now, you've got ticks out, and you've got spiders that are around. And I think people should just know a little bit about them so that we can understand what's serious, what we need to worry about, and what we can treat at home.
All right. So what's one that you don't need to worry about?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is the vast majority of them you don't need to worry about. So we're going to get bitten by many different insects. For the most part, they're going to cause irritation, right? You're going to get that redness. It's going to cause you to itch. But really, it's not going to do too much beyond that. But each time we get bitten by something, we have the opportunity for bacteria, viruses, and other toxins, other kind of saliva from these animals to get in, which causes an irritation in the skin. That causes us to release histamine, which is what makes us itch. The more we itch, unfortunately, we break the skin, then we have a higher chance of an infection because the skin is broken.
How about bee stings?
Bee stings are the same. Bee stings are terrible, right? We really don't like them. People that are allergic to bee stings, much more serious. Those are the people that this is the time to make sure you have your EpiPens around. But for the most part, bee stings, again, are going to be a hassle and inconvenience, causing more pain than itching, but really don't cause much as far as infections and bad medical issues.
Why does the itch feel so good and the after itch make it itch more? What sort of trick is that?
Yeah, how about it? Histamine, you know, it causes you to itch. So while you're itching, it's like, oh, man, this feels good, because it's telling your brain you're doing exactly what the body is asking you to do. The bad thing is contact like that causes the release of more histamine. So after, as you're itching, it feels good. You stop, more histamine's released, and the itching comes back in full fury. Same with heat. If you go in and take a hot shower, it feels so good when you're in the hot shower. Unfortunately, the heat causes more histamine to be released. You come out and you're itching even more.
That's how they get you, as our dads would have said. All right, so when does a little red, a little puffy, when does that turn into something you ought to see a doctor for?
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, if you do break the skin, and then we get concerned about an infection. So if the redness continues to grow outside of the area of the bug bite, then we're concerned. If you start to see any red streaking, go up towards your up your arm, up your leg, towards your heart, any of those, that is more concerning. That can be a bacterial infection, so definitely get in for those. For the most part, like I said, you're not going to have much of those issues. But if you do start to see the redness growing, warmth and streaking, definitely get in, because we get concerned about MRSA, which is that bacteria that's resistant to a lot of antibiotics. We want to make sure that we take care of that.
So I've been told, and you spend some time on the golf course, I do as well, that this is the year to watch out for ticks.
Yep.
We had an easy winter, and we've got more ticks than ever. If you don't have Brad Paisley near you to check you for ticks, what do you do, and how do you know you've got a problem here?
Yeah, and, you know, it's kind of interesting. U.S. Open just held at Erin Hills, and I'm sure you watched parts of it. If I went to the U.S. Open, when I got home, I would have checked myself for ticks. Why? You're in the middle of deer country up there. Two, you're walking through this high grass where these deer ticks sit. And so it is. You know, the Brad Paisley song, Check It for Ticks, is a great idea, to be honest with you, because unfortunately, the ticks that we're talking about that can cause Lyme disease, which is the one we're most concerned about, are not these huge wood ticks and not these big ticks that it's very obvious when you see them. It's actually the deer tick, which is fairly small. But definitely, if you're out in high grass, if you're out on the golf course and you hit the ball in the rough quite a bit, like some people we know, then definitely.
He means me, by the way.
No, he's talking about me.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, when you're done, check yourself for ticks.
Anybody can hit it on the fairway. Hit it on the rough.
There you go. Hey, we have to ask about West Nile, too. I know there was one confirmed case downstate. Is that going to be an issue again? And symptoms for that, Doc?
It will be. Let me go back just really quickly to Lyme disease, because it's probably one that's pretty important. If you think about Lyme disease, the one thing you need to know about Lyme disease is look for the bullseye rash. If you get a rash that starts to look like a bullseye, get in to your doctor, because Lyme disease, when caught early, can be treated very easily with simple antibiotics, but those that aren't treated can go on to have neurologic and heart problems. So if you see a bullseye rash, even if you weren't around ticks for the past couple weeks, because it can come up to 30 days later, if you see a bullseye rash anywhere in your body, get in. You won't know that you had a tick bite, but that's a sign that you really want that checked.
You know, we usually talk about pets. Can pets bring a tick indoors?
Absolutely. So make sure all your dogs have tick disease medicine right now. The vast majority of those are going to be a medicine that you give them orally. The tick bites the dog and then dies. So if the tick is just sitting in the hair of the dog, it can easily be transmitted in. So be really careful. Check your dog after you've had him out in the woods or after you've had him out in a field.
Of course, we hear hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog, something different.
Yeah.
All right. So the West Nile mosquito thing, are we in danger here?
Yeah. You know, just the same reasons that the tick season is going to be bad, West Nile could be bad. You know, West Nile is a disease that's a virus, unfortunately, not a bacteria, so there's no treatment for it. But it's transmitted by mosquito bites. So we have plenty of mosquitoes this year, and we will continue to have more, especially with weather like what we're having right now. The weird thing about West Nile is that about 80% of people have had West Nile and don't even know it. They get no symptoms, or they get very minor symptoms. They get a little body ache, but it goes away. 20% are going to get the headaches, the body aches, the joint pain, the vomiting, and that can last for weeks or months. And then 1%, which is still a substantial number, is going to get severe illness where they can end up in a coma with neurological problems.
And what is the Powassan virus?
So it's a virus that's very rare, but unfortunately increasing. And when we say, well, who cares? If you look at what's happened with Lyme disease as well as West Nile and the increase of the trajectory of how many cases we've had, it gets to be a little scary, right? When you look at West Nile, the first cases were in 1999. Now it's all the way across the country. In Lyme disease, first case in the United States, 1975. Now it's all the way across the country. So the Botswana virus is unfortunately this virus that we haven't seen much of, but unfortunately it's increasing as well, and it comes from a tick bite. And the bad thing is that this has much higher incidence of severe neurologic problems, memory losses and seizures, and there's no treatment, just like West Nile, there's no treatment. And when the numbers are that small, we don't see people running to say, let's make a vaccine for it.
Right, because they can't make any money off it. How do you get a tick off if you see a tick on you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So taking the tweezers and trying to get as close to the head as possible and ease them back out. Some of them, little guys, they're going to hang on. And sometimes, unfortunately, as you pull, you might pull their head off. And that's okay. But just make sure
it's
that when
okay
you don't.
It's not okay for the tick.
Correct. It's not okay for the tick. But when you do go back, then you can scrape it off. But then really wash it well with warm soapy water in that area, and then mark that. Actually, I usually tell people, take a marker or a pen and put a dot there and just leave it alone, because that's going to be the area that you're going to be concerned about for the rash.
And when you pull the tick off, you see like two little bite marks,
yep.
Sort of?
Yep. They have two little prongs for their teeth, essentially. That's how they're attached.
But it could be nothing.
Could be nothing. Absolutely. A vast majority of them are nothing, especially the ones that you see, those large ticks. And some people say, you know, you can take and put heat next to them and then they'll back out. Other people say you can put nail polish remover and they'll back out. That's fine. But if you have tweezers, it's much easier just to remove them.
Or if you're on a golf course, just have a friend take a 6-iron and just take a whack at your shin.
I thought you were going to say use a tee.
All right. Good stuff. Good to know. And, of course, we'll post the notes. A couple other things. From the texters, 708, my 24-year-old daughter's having her tonsils out, and I'm going to be taking care of her. Is she going to be able to talk, swallow, and is it painful, and what can I do to help her?
Yeah. So, you know, people used to get their tonsils out all the time. Then we found that tonsils actually are a good part of our immune system. So we only take tonsils out of people if they get so large or you get strep so often. So what's going to happen is it's an outpatient surgery, so she'll have her tonsils removed. She will be able to talk. She'll probably not want to eat any hard foods for a while. They'll put her on a soft diet, ice cream, pudding, things like that, and then they'll make sure that she has pain medication. But for the most part, people of that age, they're going to do very well and actually recover very quickly. Biggest concerns is bleeding. But really right now, the techniques that they use and the surgery that is being done for this is very safe and usually tolerated quite well.
The tonsillectomy stuff, aside for the moment, unless you had a question to follow.
No.
Somebody said, is SPF accumulative? This is from the 847, meaning if I put on a 25 and then I put on a 30, am I now protected to 55 or am I still at a particular level?
No, you're still at the particular level. So, yeah, so you can't go 25, 25, 25 and say I'm at 100. No, you're going to get to 25.
Well, no, because it'd be 75.
Well, no one said we'd do math.
Yes, the doctor doesn't do math.
All right, so the number you apply is the number you apply.
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
Andy Mazur is here this morning. I don't know if he has any questions for you, but he did want to say hi.
Hello and happy birthday to you. My dad had a little run-in with poison ivy on the golf course the other day, too.
Yeah, that's a good question. What do you do with poison ivy?
Andy, that's a great one. Yeah. You know, the biggest thing there is obviously is going to be to try to avoid it as much as you can and look for that classic leaf. But the other thing is if you do think you were exposed to it or you were exposed to it, get those clothes, whatever you were wearing, wash them in hot water, anything that you may have touched. As far as treatment for it, you know, antihistamines creams are okay. Some of the steroid creams are okay. Try not to itch it because it's oil and it can spread. If he came in and sat down on any chair, clean wherever he sat. And anything that he touched, the oil can be on that. So you can get it. It's not that it's contagious, but you can touch something that he touched. And people will often do this and then get in their car. So clean the car as well.
We're going to be cleaning off Andy's chair. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, if you sit in your car, you got to go and scrub the car.
All right.
Well, think about it. How many people go out for a walk through the woods, and then come home, and now they've got it. Well, it was sitting on their clothes, and now they were sitting in their car.
Yeah, obviously, unless you get completely naked and then get into your car.
Correct.
Yeah, that creates other problems.
Can be hot.
I call my dad here.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Stand by, Doc. I'll talk to you off the air for just a second. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.